Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome everyone to the distraction, WrestleMania 37, point to the sign. We're all pointing, we're here, we're ready for WrestleMania. We're going to stay like this the whole show. Just
no,
what are you talking
no,
about?
No, we're not.
What do you mean? I thought we agreed that this is how we're staying.
No, if Joel's done, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
Guys. Sweet.
Jeremy, I'm going to take this over. I'm going to take this over now, okay? Did you just say we're talking about WrestleMania today?
Guys, I thought we were pointing the whole show.
We're not talking about WrestleMania. We're talking about Hardcore Justice live on Impact Plus this Saturday night in the Impact Wrestling Studios.
Did you Saturday afternoon?
Oh, not for me, pal.
Wait, hold on. NWA TNA has a show this weekend?
It does. Yes, it does. Big show. ECW, brother.
What?
Yes, ECW. It never dies. Hardcore never dies.
I refuse to believe this.
It's true. I swear. This is a great way to start the show. Nonetheless.
I'll tell you, that Dixie Carter, she's something else. Okay. She doesn't care.
Jeremy, you did mention WrestleMania. Folks, don't switch the video off. We have a great, esteemed guest, a legend of the program, who now comes on only for big four WWE pay-per-views that he doesn't care about, which is a good bit. We are going to talk about WrestleMania, right, Jeremy?
I guess so. I mean, that's what I put in the headline. Like, I can be a liar, and we don't have to, but... I called Dutch Mantel a liar earlier today. Speaking of, JJ sends a super chat, says hello to my favorite big stars. Welcome again, Jack. Jack's the biggest star of all here. Always nice to see you on the show.
I'm not bigger than Bob O'Neill.
Check out the prediction show with SB3 and Dutch. Yeah, I did a prediction show with Dutch Mantel and SB3. You guys are a step down. Like, I did a prediction show with Dutch Mantel, an actual like wrestling legend. You guys are just, like, I like you guys, but... I mean,
I'm legitimately jealous.
Yeah, I have no argument on this. Like, this is true. Yeah, this is true. What do you want, man? What do you want? Do you want a medal? What do you want? I mean, we've lost.
He bowed down to me. Dutch Mantel bowed down.
What do you want, a medal?
During the show, he bowed down to the god, the point god.
That does roll, and you need to get him on the distraction. But that's a different thing for another day, because we are going to talk about Jeremy. We're getting to WrestleMania, right? The show of shows, the showcase of the immortals, which Jet reminded me was the nickname of the event, the grandest stage of them all. There you go. WrestleMania, folks.
It's my favorite one, the grandest stage of them all. Guys, let me get plugs and stuff out of the way. You can send a super chat, get your question, comment, statement read on air if you would like to. It really helps us out. That's it. That's the only plug. Let's get rolling. WrestleMania 37 this weekend. Two nights. Once again, two nights. I mean, first off, do we like two nights?
Yes.
Do we like two nights, Jack?
Yeah. I think this should be the norm going forward. I said that last year when they were forced to do it in the Performance Center. I said, like, when they do stadiums, they should. I said that when Wrestle Kingdom did it for the first time. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is pretty cool. If you're only going to do it once a year, I don't see the problem with it.
I agree. I think it's also good that, like, it stops it from becoming this weird event where the main event is, like, a bad thing to be in, you know? Like, that was a weird fit. Like, main event of WrestleMania should be the ultimate in wrestling, and instead it became, oh, man, they're going on last after 7 hours of wrestling.
Yeah.
That's not ideal. I also think it's nice to be able to do, like, singles matches like Owens and Zayn, Rollins. You wouldn't do that on the big marathon. It would be a 10-man tag. So, or 10-man ladder match. So, I mean, it's better. I just, you know, logistics-wise, I don't know if it's something you can do full-time. I hope it is, though, to be honest. I think it also separates from the rest of the events, which increasingly, when Shane O'Mac is your only part-timer, you need stuff that makes this seem obviously different than, like, Battleground or Backlash. Two Nights does that, right? It does that much. There you go.
Yeah.
Jack, we have to watch this show on the cock. Have you experienced the cock yet? What do you have?
Oh, you know, for like, I was one of those people. I didn't watch the whole show, but I turned it on for the Roman match on Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people that experienced just like how far behind it was in the live streaming. Like I was looking at my tweet deck and people were like, wow, what a move. And the person that did the move hadn't even entered yet. Like, wait, what? And then I saw that people like WWE, because WWE Network was still around here in the US. And I guess that was so far ahead of what Peacock did. And apparently I saw some people who seen last night for TakeOver, huh?
Yeah, I watched Fastlane on the network. I did watch TakeOver last night on the Cock, and it was behind the USA Network feed, but I don't know if those people were watching on cable or if they were watching like an internet USA Network feed, because like cable is going to be ahead of a streaming service regardless.
See, so, starting tonight though, that won't, it's not going to be a problem at all, because the only way you can watch is on Peacock tonight, Saturday.
Except for these people in the UK and Canada and elsewhere who are going to be on the network and are going to be
listen ahead
and spoiling everything.
You're fine with me. I'm not going to be watching, so you're absolutely in the clear. You don't have to worry about me tweeting anything. There'll be no spoilers.
Joel's going to be tweeting the night one results tonight. He's going to be like, good for Bianca. We're going to be like, wait, what?
I thought you meant Night One of NXT. I was like, no, never watching. But yes, WrestleMania, good call. Speaking of Night One of WrestleMania, Jeremy Lambert, what a show we got, right? Jack Crosby, I know that you've studied this card intensely. You know, you've looked up and down the thing. You've gone through all the ups and downs. What are you looking forward to? Night One, let's split them here. Night One, what stands out from the pack? Do you know what is in this pack before I finish this question?
I know that Bob and Drew is on night one, and so is Sasha and Bianca. Wait. Big E and Apollo?
No. I have no clue. I did not
know. All right. Well, I know that Bob and Drew and yes. Sasha and Bianca.
You got those two.
I got those two. That's what I know.
What's the main event?
Let's tackle that. So I have been pretty consistent in saying if the issue with Banks and Blair is a lack of build, Drew and Bob are not, you know, they're not the answer there. They haven't got much to stand on. I love Bob. Drew is a fine guy. That's what he is to me. He's a guy. Banks and Blair feels like a moment that you can be saying bigger than what them two can come up with here. It feels like a lot to me. Jack, what do you think?
Well, I was doing the math in my head, and it's got to be Drew and Bob on first.
Yeah.
Because as the challenger, Drew McIntyre will be the first person out there in that stadium. And they already reported, confirmed, or whatever, that there's no kickoff show on night one. So, and because they want this big, elaborate entrance, Drew McIntyre's owed a lot of things for what he did last year. I think Drew is getting that entrance as the first person out in Raymond James Stadium. He's going to come out with a 500-foot sword on fire and start stabbing people or from the pirate ship or something like that. But I think that was a dead giveaway. I think Drew's going to be the first person you see on Saturday.
Oh, I agree. Jeremy seemingly disagrees. Jeremy, go ahead.
What?
You know who's first? You know who's first, Joseph?
The legit boss.
The BB Rexa is going to sing America the Beautiful. And then, no. She sings America the Beautiful, how great America is and everything. And then who do you bring out after talking about how great America is? The real American is coming out first.
I will turn the peacock off right then and there.
I'm just trying to warn everybody, all right? I'm just trying to warn everybody. I don't agree with this. I don't want it. No one wants it. I'm trying to warn everybody, okay? Hulk's going to come out. He's going to hand Drew the sword. I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. He's going to hand it to him.
But that still means Drew gets the entrance. So wait, so yes. All you're disagreeing with is the first quote-unquote superstar we see is Hogan.
Yes.
Maybe the first match entrance is Drew. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
All right, that's fine. But Hulk's
because you know what,
everybody.
Okay, here's the deal, though. Okay, so but we all agree that regardless of the Hogan or the BB Rexa, we think Banks and Blair are on last, right? They're closing the deal.
Should be.
This start then with what we perceive to be the opener. What's interesting about Bob and Drew is, I think as soon as Bobby won the belt, 90% of us were like, well, they're just going to give it back to Drew at Mania, and they're going to like do the, you know, you get your moment after all. Basically, that deal. It does seem like since then, people are kind of swaying. Are we still locked in on the idea that Drew is getting that belt back? Jack, what do you think?
I'm with you. I really thought that because – and I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve it. Like, Drew deserves that WrestleMania reaction. He does. And then, you know, he had a great year last year from what I saw. And I did watch bits and pieces. I watched WrestleMania when he beat Brock. Like, the guy is owed that moment. But at the same time, you're right. WWE's put us in a weird position where they finally figured it out with Bobby Lashley. And the people seem to like this iteration of Bobby Lashley. And all of a sudden, you're right, it kind of turned to where, yeah, let's have Drew get his moment. Now it's like, what if we just didn't? What if we just had Bobby walk out? But then again, getting rid of the Hurt Business might have been a dead giveaway to Bobby's losing that title.
Yeah, it feels like it's either that. This is going to sound incredibly dumb, so I apologize. But the Hurt Business thing feels like a play firmly in one direction or the other, right? Where it's like, if he retains, it's like, oh, they're just all in on Bob as a heel. And they feel like the Hurt Business made him too cool and, you know, likable. In the same way, if he loses now, it's like, man, I don't know where Bob's at because he's lost his faction, his title. He's starting to cut promos again for no, like, it's an odd one. I don't know.
I think Lashley should win. I hope that the Hurt Business, like, isn't done. People have theorized that it's like a swerve. And so Cedric and Shelton, I don't buy
it's all over, guys. It's over. It's finished. There's no more.
That would require them to like put thought into this, and we know they don't do that, right? Like,
it's just if this was going to be a swerve, it would have been just Ascension, not Bobby beating the absolute shit out of them. That's it. Like, what are they going to come out and say? Yeah, we took one for the team. We let Bobby beat the piss out of us to make it look really good. Like,
you had to really sell it. You know, you had to sell that they were out. So that's why it happened.
Bobby agreed to pay our medical bills.
I think it's as transparent as, like, they just don't see Shelton and Cedric as being important at all. Yeah. And I think in their minds, it's part we want Bob to get booed, and it's also our world champ is friends with these two dorks. Like, I think that's how they look at it. Now, look, I don't look at it that way. I think you guys don't either, but I mean, that's how they see it, man. I mean, they weren't doing anything with them guys before this. So that kind of makes sense. But so where are we at then? So we're leaning towards the Drewski, right? Big Scottish psychopath with a sword.
Soft lean towards Drew winning the title back.
Drew's going to win the title. He's going to hold it up for everybody, and then he's going to come right to the camera. He's going to get real close. He'd be like, one year I waited for this moment, and it's here. Finally, all you people at home, everyone at home who stuck with me this whole time, now look into the crowd. The crowd is here. I'm Drew McIntyre, and thank you, everybody. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you. Yes.
And then it will get clipped up immediately by every British journalist to be like, this is the wrestling I love. That's what you're saying, with the Union Jack. With the Union Jack next to it. It'd be great. But here's the biggest question, okay? We all just give our, like, half-hearted picks. I love Bob. Did any of us, like, care about this man? Like, genuinely, in your heart, if it was cancelled right now. No. I don't think you did. Jeremy?
Fair enough.
It's a weird one, man. I really think the story of this Mania is, like, because it's mostly full-time guys, it feels so kind of just, like, there. And I'm for it being full-time guys, which makes that seem really hypocritical. I get that. But it's like, there's not a whole lot jumping off the page. There's a lot of stuff for a style be good. But yeah, that should be good.
I mean, then again,
full-time guys, we'd care
about. Exactly, yeah.
It's unpopular, but I'm still one of those people. I don't care how many people they have on that roster. There should not be two world champions.
Yeah,
I don't care about brands, but I will never agree with that. There should not be two world champions. I think you can keep the you can keep two mid card belts, tag teams, but not even tag teams because they don't have enough. So there should only be one tag team champion at that point. But especially world, there should only be the WWE champion in that company. That's just the way it is. And yeah, you tell that person you have to bounce between the two. Like, you want to be champ, you got to bounce between the two shelves.
Right. No, I think the thing is. It's kind of that way, which makes the way it's now done, right? Because it's no one doubts that Roman's the champ. So it makes Drew or Bob seem even more secondary, even though they're pretending they're not, right? It's this weird kind of thing where you always know who the real champ is, right, at any given moment. So it's tough.
Because here's another wild card that I want to bring up to you guys that I thought about. When Roman and Drew wrestled at Survivor Series, they protected Drew massively. He lost the match, but we know how he lost the match. When is the next brand split coming up? Because they love, all of a sudden, they love Drew McIntyre.
It should be October.
See, I couldn't remember if they were going to do October again or sometime after WrestleMania like they used to. any kind of shakeup or anything like that? Are they going to try to do Drew Roman? Like, not put the title on Drew at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Have him feud with Roman maybe into SummerSlam?
Here's the thing. I mean, if we map out, I mean, we're going to get ahead of ourselves, but I think it's worthwhile. If we imagine Roman is keeping his belt on Sunday, which I think we all would suggest he should do, and then we try and figure out, okay, like, what's next? I think you can steal a Cesaro program, right? Like, if he beats Seth, ooh, you can do that. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're for that, right? So you can do that, and then it's like, then who does he work on SmackDown? Do you get Big E ready by June, July?
Yeah, because
you get Ray back? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. But remember, last time I was with you guys, I said, not jokingly, I said seriously, Roman should hold that title until next year in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You should not take that title off Roman Reigns this weekend. You shouldn't do it at SummerSlam. WrestleMania next year, you have a year to figure out, is it Keith Lee? Is it a Cesaro? Is it, figure it out and stick to the plan. That's why I am so scared for Sunday night. I am,
you know,
so
it should be, man. When you run through that list, this is going to sound very disrespectful to the men you just mentioned, but it's the truth. God bless the NXT, you know, the black and gold and all that good stuff. Finn needs to be involved in this thing, man. Finn's like, he's tremendous. It feels like it could be. Yeah, it feels like he could drop the belt and then go back. But it's up to him. I don't know.
Would we get this Finn on the main? Because, like, I listened to my 300,000th 19th Triple H interview this morning.
Jesus, God bless you.
And he was talking, about Finn. And from the sound of things, like, he knew that Finn was just kind of that main roster thing. Wasn't really working. And then the NXT, he could be the guy he wanted to be. If he goes back to the main roster, I feel like he would just be that version of Finn. And he wouldn't be this version. And the main roster version of Finn, he ain't messing with Roman Reigns. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you've just shot down two of my suggestions there, Jeremy, in one fell swoop. Ray Jr., you got a scoff. Do you see that, Jeff? I said Ray Mysterio.
Did you honestly suggest Ray Jr.?
Like, we're talking really? About Cesaro. Dude, we're talking about Cesaro. Okay.
Yeah, at least Cesaro, you know, I will say, singles program.
Wait, Ray Mysterio?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I would love a program of Roman beating the piss out of Dominic.
Yes.
Throwing Ray around like a toy. Oh, sure, I would buy that.
It'd be great.
I would buy the shit out of that. Especially if
they're not doing it.
Cesaro 6 months ago was even lower on the card than Ray is now. They could easily get Ray back for that. It'd be fine. I think it'd be great.
Ray, stuff. You can do whatever you want.
Ray. Yeah, he's bulletproof.
They won't.
I love that we're talking about Ray Mysterio on this WrestleMania preview. Yeah, just move on.
Okay? He's not even on the card. Ray's not even on WrestleMania.
Seriously, because you guys are more into it. May I ask a question really quick?
Oh, no. Yes, you can.
No, because I have looked at the card. I know I don't memorize the names, but I've looked at the card. Do they really not have a match for Bayley?
No, they don't.
Are you shitting me?
There's nothing for Bayley to do. There is a belief that her and Charlotte could have something that's figured out either Friday or on the pay-per-view night of an open challenge. That's the belief.
You know, it's good to just figure these things out the day before WrestleMania. The people carried your company.
I find it hard to believe. That there's nothing for Bayley to do at that show.
Unless this is an elaborate working plan, and I don't think it is, because they don't deserve any of this credit based on their history. Like, they don't have any. She doesn't know. She said she didn't know. She's pitching different stuff. No, she was happy to do a non-title.
Something's up here. Something smells fishy. I don't think they're going to leave Bayley. Something's up here.
Jack, here's my pitch, okay? Bayley, Rey Mysterio Jr. What we got? We cook it? There you go.
Wow.
Are you just going to put Rey in everything?
If we're going to do Bayley Rey, then we're going to have to reevaluate our main event suggestions.
Yeah, I agree. Main
event. Take out Edge.
Speaking of the main event, okay, so we've tackled the Bob and the Drew. And by tackled, I mean we spoke about Rey Mysterio Jr. and Bayley.
But then you asked if we had any interest in this match, and we all agreed as a team, no, we don't.
Yes, no, we don't. Okay. Now here's one that I think we do have interest in, even if only on the physical sort of potential of it. The Legit Boss versus the EST, right? The Banks versus the Blair. the Twitter war that this has become. Tremendous stuff. Been a debating itself, but in all seriousness, the match should be pretty spectacular, right? I have a couple questions. Can we throw this to Jack? Because I know Jeremy gets to talk about the SmackDown crew glowingly every week on Friday nights live on this channel. Okay, two things. How important, Jack, is it that Bianca wins? That's my first one. And secondly, do you have any concerns? Because I do have some about like her performing in such a major spot when really this is a new thing to her. Very new. What do you think?
No, I have no problem with just throwing her into the deep end and telling her sink or swim. You know, this is on you. We're throwing you right in. Now go get the job done. I think it's important that she wins because, you know, no matter what, when you look at the women on the roster for the longest time, for what now we're going 25th. So we're going 6 years now. Everything always comes back to the horsewomen in one way or another, which is can be good and bad. Like Becky Lynch, mm-hmm. you know, where her spot was before she left was great. And then sometimes with the Charlotte stuff, all jokes aside, not so great.
Yeah.
But it all circles back to them. And then after 6 years, you start to get this feeling like, man. So I think Bianca is someone that's talented enough that she could take that ball from Sasha on Saturday and kind of breathe new life into the division.
Yeah.
And because that's the tough part, because yeah, you want to get away from the horsewomen, but the thing is the four of them are so talented that they're the only ones who can carry that ball.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people might not want to hear that, but look at Bayley, for example. She was great when she was the, you know, the apple of every kid's eye. And then we come to find out, holy crap, she might even be better as a heel. Like they're just so all around talented, the four of them. But it takes a special person to step up and take the reins. And I'm pretty sure Bianca's the person that can do that.
It's interesting. Jeremy, what you got? What are you thinking?
I think Sasha's going to win.
The legit boss you're talking about here, yeah?
The legit boss, the role model, the blueprint, the gold standard.
Shelton Benjamin.
the green money.
I would watch Bianca versus Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, the green money. It's a new nickname I've given to her.
Okay. But carry on as you will.
I think Sasha's going to win, and it's a toss-up for me. I understand the putting Bianca over and really just like making her in this moment. I think there's more of a story to tell with Sasha winning and in the going like almost full heel and just like bragging about everything and have Bianca get knocked down a peg because that's good for her confidence in the long run. And then she comes back next year and wins the title.
Wait, next year?
Ignore, he's doing the Rhea Ripley bit. Ignore.
Yeah. Oh.
But that actually transitions to my point.
I didn't even catch on to that.
So I think this is interesting, okay? We got, on this weekend, we've got the two women that I think we would all select as the obvious choices to take that next step after the horsewomen, who have been great, as Jack laid out perfectly. You have Rhea Ripley and Belair, right? It's like, they're clearly the options. They finished the Rumble together. They're both great. Who, if you could have one, if only one can win that title, who needs it more? What's the most important? Because to me, I'm kind of with Jeremy as much as he was joking about next year. I feel like Raw needs Rhea as champ as much as Rhea needs to be champ. You know, like that division is, look, bless Asuka, man. It's not her fault, but like this reign needs wrapping up. And to me, I think Banks is enough of a priority that you can be like, okay, we're going to have a win and tell a story of Belair trying to climb that mountain that is Sasha Banks. I mean, that works. Rhea losing to Asuka to me is like alarm bells, to be honest with you. That might sound hyperbolic or silly. I don't know, man. I feel like she needs to win here. What do you think? Am I wrong on this? I feel like Rhea's the priority for me. I'm not sure.
If I had to pick one between Bianca and Rhea, probably Rhea. Yeah. Because again, like you said, I think that you have a lot more leeway with, even if you do knock Bianca down a peg, she'll be fine. Because obviously, because right. you can go the route Jeremy said with Sasha going full blown heel and cheating to win, then everything's fine there. Rhea already having a WrestleMania match and coming up just short against Charlotte, And like you said, that Raw women's division, at least to me, like I don't even watch the show every week, but I could just tell by my Twitter feed that like that division is just trash. The booking's trash. Like they need there's Asuka and then there's everyone else. Like, and I understand, like Asuka's a legend. She is. That's not hyperbole. She's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's her and then nobody else.
They don't book her like that though.
She feels when you watch the show, and again,
She lost on Monday. She got pinned.
Rather than bringing the others up to her level, they seem to consistently try to pull her down to the rest.
Yes.
And this weird diet, and look, in fairness to them, this was obviously like plan C, I guess, for their title match. Now, granted, plan A was Lacey Evans, so actually not fair to them. Fuck them, I guess is my point here. But the point of this is, to me, it's like, look, Banks is one of their biggest stars, and that's not to dismiss Asuka, but I just don't see her as the same, quite the same level to me in terms of like building the promotion around.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something to be said for solidifying Banks as like an ace style champ and really tell that story of the great athlete that is Bianca Belair trying to win that big one. To me, Rhea's a badass. I don't need that character to be trying to win any big one. She needs to just be beating people up. To me, Rhea should be like, this is hot take time. Ready? If I had my way, I would be bringing her into the territory like Brock in 02, brother. You know, she's just slaughtering people. That's me. But that's, I don't think that's how they see it. But to me, her skill set is a lot less suited to a story of trying to overcome something than Belair's is. That's just my take on it. I don't know.
Rhea needs the win way more than Bianca for the reasons you mentioned, but definitely to reset. And I think it's alarming if Rhea loses. Not only because it kind of shows they don't have anything for her and they brought her in from catering just because Charlotte got COVID, but also because like if Asuka wins, Charlotte's definitely getting that belt. Charlotte's coming out the next night on Raw.
The man, Rebecca, what are we thinking? Is there a chance the only play here is Asuka needs to get that thing so Becky can come straight back in and be like, I give it to you a year ago. I'm here to get it back. Do we think Becky Lynch is in play for this weekend? She may well be, right? That seems like there's a lot in play, you know.
Yeah, I think she's in play. Look, unlike certain other journalists, and my wife happens to be pregnant right now, so I know a lot about pregnancy at the current time, okay? I've done my research, unlike other journalists, there are some people out there who think you could pop the baby out and get in the ring the next day. I'm not that guy. I do research, okay? I've done a lot of research.
Jack has done so much research. He got his wife pregnant so he could know.
I just wanted to see.
Just a case study. It was a case study.
Honey, are you pregnant? How fast could you get back into a wrestling ring? I need to ask a doctor. How fast can you get back into a ring? But no, the timeline, like Becky, if she's been keeping in shape and everything was good with her pregnancy, because I don't think she had a C-section, so that's not a problem. So I think that she it's possible, because when did she have November, December,
early December,
like early December? Yeah. Now I remember. Yeah, it's early December. Yeah, she. I mean, theoretically, she could.
It's not even like she can come back. It's not like she has to wrestle the next night. Like she can come back tomorrow. Or WrestleMania, Bayley. And not wrestle for another month. Like
it feels like Bayley would be, you know. And we've spoken on Twitch and stuff about the idea of doing like Ding Dong Hello with a special guest, and it's Becky.
Yeah,
because if you were to pick someone you want to work with Becky coming back, like Bayley's like the safest, most steady of those, right? I mean, Asuka's she's pretty physical after a pregnancy. You know? I don't know, but Bayley's a lot more steady, I think, as a choice, and it's a fresh matchup, but. The other thing with this match is, and I know we've transitioned to the Raw title, but that's what we do, guys. Okay, it's the distraction with Jack Cross. What do you think we're going to do here? Go for it, God. But here's the deal. I said Becky, like, Ronda is a factor here too, right? Because Jack and I don't want this to be the case, but it's just, if we imagine they have a date on when Ronda's around, it changes things with Rhea because, like, she's then not a priority to make as the monster of the division, you know? Because if Ronda's around, she's the priority, man. That's just is what it is. It'll always be that way. So there's a lot at play here. To me, the division just needs Rhea to win emphatically. But that's just
Ronda's so tough because like, I try to put aside the fact that I'm good if she never comes back.
Yes,
the run was good. It was memorable. I'm not gonna shit all over her run, but I don't. It was what it's over. Like to me, yeah. I couldn't care less if I never saw her step through that curtain again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I cannot blame WWE if they want Becky versus Ronda at a WrestleMania next year in LA. I can't blame them for that. I would too, probably.
Next
I would
year say, is all right. In Dallas. It's 2 years in.
Wait, LA. Next year's
get it right. It's the second time you've done it. I've got to call you out. All right, I let it go the first time. The second one can't happen.
We do not do inaccuracies on this show. Damn it.
But, I'm with you. Like, if you're going to bring back Ronda, it's to set up the singles match against Becky.
And again, I can't blame them if they want that.
Yeah, it still feels a little unfinished. Like, if you can do it, you kind of have to do it.
Here's the thing. Here's where, to me, the next, like, progression for the division is. We always talk about non-title programs, right? Because they're not really a thing, are they? Women's really, like, this division is just, like, if you have the belt, you're on TV. If not, then, like, good luck, I guess. Bayley's found it out.
This division is 90%. We don't know what we're doing, so we're just going to throw this out there tonight. And 10%, we're going to get Natty and Tamina over.
Fair. That's very fair. I agree with it. But do you not think if you have Ronda and Becky, a timeline on both, is there not something to be said for doing that match as a chance to do a major blockbuster non-title program? Is there a chance that they're actually looking at it and saying, hey, some of these women now need these belts, man. We've been a little bit, you know, we've kept people away. A Rhea needs a belt. A Bianca needs a belt. Ronda and Becky, man, that's just money, right? I don't know. That kind of went through my mind when I was thinking about it. So I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, but they don't think like that. That's not how they're going to look at it.
They're like, they need the men sometimes, right? Sometimes with the guys, like, you know, like, this is a – I'm so old, but this dates me. Here we go. You know, like, they had Brock and Goldberg, right? And it's like, well, we'll do this without the belt, and then we'll give, you know, Eddie and Kurt the belt. And then 14 years later, they said, we'll do the opposite when we do the rematch with
Brock. Joseph. So maybe you went back all the way to WrestleMania 20 for
they your do logic stuff here. Like that, don't they? They not do that stuff.
Do they? Give me an actual example.
Well, I mean, I barely know what's on this card. I can't, you know, I can't pull these things out of my hat here. But I feel like sometimes they'll do the deal where it's like we can have two major matches if we take the belt off of this and give it to these other people. You know? Perhaps not. I don't know. Nonetheless.
I mean, in this case, I guess you could maybe point to, like, Undertaker and Michaels or something. But, like, that was still streak versus career. I just don't know when they've done this. They always like to put the title. They needed the title so badly that they wanted to do the double champion at WrestleMania 35. They were so enamored with
these titles. With the women. This is what I'm saying. Like, to me, it's like...
Yeah, well, this is the women's match we're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying this would be blockbuster to me if it was the first time we had, like, Ronda and Becky as such big stars. They don't need that shitty belt with a W on it.
I'm with you.
You know?
I'm with you, too. I agree.
It's tough.
This ain't what they do, typically.
No, you're right, clearly. I mean, my example was 2003 and was undone by their own rematch. So, you know, I haven't really got much ground to stand on here, Jeremy. I mean, you know, I'd rather you not attack Jack Ryan when we lie and make stuff up. We do that generally, you know.
I mean, yeah, you can have, like, Rock
Austin. I'm calling out liars today. If I call out Dutch Mantel, I'll call out you guys, too.
Apparently so. Jack, we got to watch what you say on here, man. Jeremy's fired up. But look, this point.
WrestleMania next year in New Orleans. y'all, that's going to be the bit. I'm just going to keep doing different cities. Next year, Pensacola.
Okay, so we've covered the big four title matches, I guess, right? And from what I'm told, Rey Mysterio is not on the card, so I have no tag title matches to discuss. What else are we looking at here? There's like a collection of singles matches, so you have...
Do we want to let's dive into? Let me first do something for chats. I'm sorry.
Oh no.
Tad predicts says hello, good people. Always good having a UK time zone friendly podcast around. Yeah, 3 o'clock. You know, we're here every
Thursday. Kind of has to be. Has to be for my sake.
Music and moonsaults, our buddy Chris says Roman's losing the belt Sunday. There's no other reason to make that a triple threat to have Roman lose without being pinned. So I don't think we touched on this one.
Oh, quite shit.
Yeah.
The Roman Daniel Bryan Edge stuff. Are we, like, we're in agreement that Roman's winning, right?
No.
No. What do you think?
You know what? Go ahead, Joe.
Oh.
I
I'm gonna be honest with you, Jeremy. That was another lie. I am in agreement that Roman's winning, but I thought for the sake of radio, I would say no, and then we could go to like the break or something and come back, you know. But there are no breaks, so I'll now just come up with my reasoning for. I think there's a real good chance that they say who is the ultimate send him home happy guy, and it's Daniel Bryan. You know, I think there is something to be said for fans are back. The fella, he can lose the belt on the next Friday. It's Daniel Bryan. He's bulletproof. The people love Daniel Bryan. You know, it would be a good visual to have the fans back doing the yeses. You know, that thing they do, the yes thing. And he could tap out the Edge. Roman wins it back. And then you do him and Edge as a program, I guess, non-title. But then again, they don't do big non-title programs. I just learned a minute ago. I mean, there's a chance that, look, I think we all agree Roman is on a different level to the rest of the roster in terms of perception, in terms of star power. It feels like it's the chance to make like a truly epic champ. And having someone else get pinned in Triple Threat is just super lame to me. Like, it just is so, it's so run of the mill, and he's not run of the mill in any way, shape, or form. So I am in agreement, but I liked having fun with it for that 2 minute segment of the show. Carry on.
No, see, it wasn't a bit with me. I think Edge is walking out as champion.
Remember when Jack threw out the idea that Edge was going to win the Rumble, and then we like fake talked about it for 2 minutes because we were just, you know, we wanted to appease Jack and his terrible opinions, and then Edge won the Royal Rumble.
Edge is not that. Then remember, I predicted the Christian moment.
Yes, you did. Yes, and you was like, "This is the best thing about that." Okay, you go, you know, because Christian, he did that thing with Randy, and he got cleared, and I was thinking, I don't think he was cleared. And he wasn't. He assumed he was.
No, I was wrong about that.
Yes, you were wrong, but you were correct about the end game, which is just tremendous. So what do you think? Why are we even talking about this, Jeremy? It's just that Jack should give his predictions and win the show, right? Which we should do.
I think that's what should happen, honestly.
You don't miss on these things. So you're saying The Edge is going to win the World Wrestling
Network. I think Edge, especially if he's really playing up this, I'm the rated R superstar again. They're going to really drive that home. And again, in their minds, they're putting Roman in the position of if Edge does something really silly, you know, Roman, you never beat me for that championship. You know, you did what you always do and crap like that.
Yeah, but do you not think that Edge is kind of like, I know you're not watching the TV, but from the outside looking in, it seems like Edge is effectively a heel now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then what do you do with Roman?
That's where it's so weird.
Heel versus heel, Roman and Edge. They don't got fans anyway, so. They'll just have the piped in booze for both of them.
Boy, that's something I was kind of hoping. I don't want to sidetrack or anything, but I was kind of hoping.
Don't sidetrack, Jack. We never do that, right?
Who's going to get booed? Like, what do you think is going to be the most shocking reception? Because it's been over a year without people. Like is Roman Reigns going to get cheered like he's friggin' Hulk Hogan 1985 when that music hits? Like, are people going to go bonkers over him?
I think it's less likely with Bryan and Edge because they're both going to have sectors of the audience, right? If he had a weaker, like, just single challenger, I don't know, man. I feel like the crowd's going to go wild for Roman. They're going to cheer
Roman. That's what I'm so interested in.
Here's my prediction. The crowd's not going to make any noise for Roman Reigns because he's going to have new music and it's going to suck so bad and be so generic that they're just not going to know what to think. That's my prediction. You're not going to get the ban out.
Wait, why does he have new music?
Wait, he did say what? No, he said a while. He said a while ago that they have new music for him, and it just never.
Yes,
he admitted that.
Yes, I think they debut it on Sunday, and the crowd is just going to be confused, like who is coming out, and then Roman will come out, and I think he'll be like pretty well received.
Honestly, yeah, guys, like. I'm kind of tired talking about these wrestling matches, but you brought up entrances. Have you guys seen what they're cooking up for the Fiend Bray Wyatt this Sunday night at the WrestleMania? Dude,
it's
going to be something. It's going to be something, Jack Crosby.
I saw something on Twitter.
Yeah, so did I.
About they compared it to like there was a new WWE supercard thing, like a picture of him.
Oh, I don't know what this is. This sounds
terrible. Yeah, it's like he has like a headdress thing on or some shit like that. But they were like, the new WWE supercard came out and the Fiend looks like this. So this might be what he looks like on Sunday. I'm like, what?
Okay, look, guys, here's the deal. I've done this before. And I need to do it again. I know that you're my friends. You'll respect this. We have about 20 minutes until Rob comes on. I promise I won't tell it the full 20 minutes. I apologize to the audience. It is time for another plea. I have now put up with the Fiendess Alexa Bliss for 8 months. It has stopped me from watching both Raw and SmackDown just by association. I have halted all discussion of such products other than when I'm forced to it on this show. Perhaps my least... Oh my god! It looks like the dude out of I mean, I don't even want to. No, I don't know. I don't know what he looks like. I'm looking at him out of the head because the rest is the same. It's just a headdress. Wow. Anyway, can I just? This is emotional for me. Please, Jerry, pick your spots for that stuff. Okay. Okay. Look, here's the deal. I put up with this. I've been a good pro. I've just simply stopped watching and cut myself out of the dialogue, as we call it in the industry. This is filth. This is a big moment for me. This is a big moment for me, Jeremy. I'm looking at the headdress fiend. Okay, listen, I'll wrap this up. I'm not asking for a lot. I simply would like the Fiendess Alexa Bliss to kick the Fiend Bray Wyatt directly in the balls and spark some form of villainous faction with my friend and yours, Randall Orton. Okay? In fact, that last part, ignore it. I don't even need that. Just give me the ball kick.
Did you see how Kim Orton reacted on Twitter when Alexa straddled his stomach? Do you think Kim's going to let Randy work with Alexa?
Jack, I am desperate. It's been 8 months, man. It's been 8 months. I'm trying my best. It's good stuff, I said. It's good. Hey, let's sex for someone, I said. It's over, Jack.
This shit sucks.
Real sad, man. It's real. I can't imagine. I don't want to speculate on what people get paid, okay? I can't imagine having the resources of the Randall Orton and the Alexa Bliss and being like, yeah, man, like, let's just put on with Bray Wyatt and do a 6-month program. Why? What is the need? Oh, man.
That fiend looks like the Iron Maiden mask.
Okay, look.
Look at this, Joseph. You're telling me? You are telling me you want to take this away? You want to take this man away from us?
No. He can do what he wants. He can play on his own anywhere. I have no problem with the Fiend, bro. Actually, he seems like a very, very nice man. Bless his heart, okay? He just does not have to incriminate two of the people I actually like on this show. Can he stop doing that? It's been 6 months now, this Fiend. Can we stop?
Me and my best friend, Dutch Mantel, booked this entire match out earlier today. So they do the big Fiend entrance. It's going to be great. They're going to have the maggots on the ring, I assume. Like, if they don't do this callback with the maggots on the ring, I'm going to be a little upset. I'm not going to lie.
They're just wrestling. Jeremy, they're actually just having a one-on-one match.
Yeah. Lock up, headlock, shoot them off, tackle, drop down, over and up, do it again.
I want to see the Fiend hit a drop toe hold.
Yeah.
Steamboat arm drags.
Here's my prediction. They're gonna wrestle. They're gonna have a 5-star classic match. They're gonna end up fighting to the back. They're just gonna disappear. They're gonna get dragged down to the depths of hell. All right.
Just tell them to watch the other one. Jack and I can't put up with this.
They're gonna get dragged to the depths of hell. The match will continue next month at whatever the pay-per-view Backlash. It's gonna continue. Backlash is just gonna open with the Fiend and Orton battling in the depths of hell. And what this does, Joseph, is it gets the Fiend off of television for an entire month. And we're all wondering, where's the Fiend? Where's the Fiend? The creative genius, Bray Wyatt. He has booked a match so long that he's taken himself off of television for a full month, just like he's done these past 5 months.
Listen.
My guy, Bray.
I cannot stress this enough, okay? I vividly remember Jack being on our show, and we were sitting here and we were like, man, Randy Orton has finally fulfilled our potential. You know, like, he's finally the guy we thought he could be. He's become a great promo. His work is still there. He still looks like Randy Orton at his best. You know, he's just figured it out. He's matured. He's the best heel in the industry. And I just can't believe here we are. Like, I honestly, I have fun with it on this podcast. I think it's insanity. Like, I think it is borderline criminal to have this level of talent tied up with such obvious silliness. Now, there is an audience for that silliness, and I respect it, and if you enjoy it, big thumbs up. I'm happy for you. But, man, the Randall Orton, the Alexa Bliss, could you just not leave me out of this? Can I not enjoy myself elsewhere? Can you not walk in and say, hey, I'll take Matt Riddle for this angle? Good job, Bray. Enjoy yourself over there. I'll skip that stuff. No. Two people I like on this shit show.
I just can't wait. Like, we're going to hit peak. My prediction is we're going to hit peak Bray Wyatt when Dexter Lumis gets on the main roster. Can you just imagine the shit they're going to come up with? Imagine that.
No, I don't want to. No.
That's where we're going to hit peak Bray Wyatt when Dexter Lumis gets called up.
This, please move on, okay? I think there is one guy that all three of us like a lot that truly, of everyone on the show, most needs a, what we call in the industry, guys, a WrestleMania moment, okay, a certified one that they can play over and over again, because he only had one 7 years ago that led to nothing. So I think Cesaro, now, in all seriousness, Cesaro needs to hit here, right? I mean, it's a big spot for him. It's a major singles match against a guy they see as an established star. Got to hit, man. This match has got to be really good, right? What do we think?
I thought you were going somewhere else. I thought you were going Big E. I feel like he needs this win, too. First, I'm going to open the Super Chat. Open the Money in the Bank case reveals a portal to the Funhouse. I mean, at least I'd explain how they get to the Funhouse. Cesaro or...
No, hang on. But then how would they have got to it before the Money in the Bank briefcase?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. At least the Money in the Bank briefcase isn't explanation.
Doesn't that make it more confusing? Okay, I love the idea of Bray being like, I need the briefcase to get back.
Yeah.
And Alexa's like, how did we get there before? I don't know, man.
Just down there we go. My man Luis has got it right here. Scarlett and Cross against Bray and Alexa. There you go, Joseph. There you go. You want them to involve people you don't care about.
No.
See, I'm the wrong guy.
You're pro, I know.
I'm the wrong guy to bring. I'm the wrong guy to bring up Cross to, because I believe, like you talked before, the 2002 Brock run. In my eyes, Cross should be getting it. I think Cross and Scarlett are too good of an act to be sitting there down in Paul's vanity fed.
Do you think Cross, they're a good act, though? Are they?
Yeah, I do. I do. I enjoy it. I know a lot. I know that's unpopular. I enjoy Cross and Scarlett.
Can you
a lot.
Explain it to me? Because I watch NXT and Cross
Jack doesn't
like,
watch NXT. That's I watch it. You like the idea of it more than what they do.
I like the idea of it more than the execution, because I think I've seen lately, like since he got back from injury, they have him talking more on the mic. No bullshit. Keep that microphone out of his hand. And Killer Cross isn't by any means a horrible talker.
Right.
He's not. But still, you have Scarlett there that can do what she does and look like she does.
Scarlett's doing
witchcraft.
She's
the only one who does the talking.
She shouldn't be a magician, though. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, she shouldn't be a magician.
And then Cross is doing MMA hybrid wrestling.
I love Jack just like conceding. She shouldn't be a magician, obviously. That's dumb.
No, it's dumb as shit. Like you could literally just take Cross as this monster dude who just murders people.
Sure.
And Cross is just this beautiful. This beautiful woman that, you know, controls him.
That's good. Can we talk about Cesaro? Can we please just talk about Cesaro? I've been trying for 15 minutes. Can we just talk about Cesaro? Are we confident? Is he going to hit this thing out of the park? I'm hopeful, but I'm a little bit concerned about the matchup and the time and all that stuff. What do we think, guys? Are we confident?
Yeah, because admittedly, I didn't even think about what you guys said. This is a great spot to heat him up for a feud with Roman. Assuming Roman holds the title, this is a great spot to put Cesaro over Seth, an established top guy, and then you feel a little more comfortable pushing Cesaro into a program with Roman.
Yeah, I agree. I just see, here's the thing with the Cesaro. What I'm about to say is going to make it sound like I do not love him, but I do adore him. I have seen so much of him that I'm about to say what I say with confidence. He can be a guy who is so physically perfect. His best stuff often comes when the other guy can kind of make up the emotion of the deal. Does that make sense? Like, he's the guy who can kind of, he can do everything physically.
Yes.
But if you pair him with a guy who really has the people's heart, then he can just go.
Say, a good example, I think, of what you're saying is, say they do pair him and Roman, and say they make a decision to, hey, Cesaro's going to be the one to go. He's going to be the guy to beat Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Roman would do great of selling that of like, oh shit, I can't get past this guy. I finally hit the brick wall. And you tell Cesaro, do what you do, and Roman will be the guy to sell your moment for you.
Right, and there's a famous match he had on a Raw with Bryan. You know when Bryan was really surging as like the anti-corporate guy?
Yeah.
And it's like, Cesaro's incredible in that match, but the reason it works is the audience cares about Bryan. My concern with this match is, Seth is not bad. I'm not going to do that deal. He's good. He's a good professional wrestler. He's talented. The two things I would say he struggles at are, I don't think he's particularly good at motor, and I do not think he's great at match structure. He's going to be the heel in this match, okay? And I know how they lay these matches out. That includes a six-minute heat segment where he's talking to the Cesaro and saying, you know, go back and team with Chris Hero and shit like that, okay? I have concerns. If this is 10 minutes of them doing moves, it'll be fine. If they try for an epic, if they try for a talky-talky classic, I get somewhat scared. But this is maybe me looking into it too much. I don't know, guys. Help me out.
The problem with Seth is Seth has a heel. How do I say this? Like
he sucks.
In ring, Seth Rollins is a babyface wrestler.
Yes.
Like Seth is a baby. We knew this back when the Shield was still together. Because remember, we were the one, like the crowd would pop the most when Seth would go off and just start taking people out. That's when the people would lose their shit for the Shield. It wasn't Moxley, it wasn't Roman, it was when Seth would get tagged in and do his crazy shit, start taking everyone out. But he just, like, the way he comes off,
he's a heel.
Personality is a heel. Like, he's this weird hybrid of the two that just can never seem to click.
Now, I have a term for this, Jack, you'll like this. This is what we officially call the Dolph Ziggler syndrome, okay? In-ring babyface, great. As soon as you have to do any kind of personality stuff with them, they're a heel immediately.
Yeah. Exactly. It's strange.
And he's fine as like a bumping heel who's just feeding Cesaro shit, but he's not going to be that here. He's going to like lead the match.
Like two years ago,
concerns me. I don't know.
2 years ago at 35, when he beat Brock in the opener, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that match a lot. And I enjoyed Seth's win. I thought that was awesome. Like that's what Seth's good at. But yeah, that's because you're right. It's a concern whether or not he can, as a heel, bring out that emotion to get Cesaro over to the next level.
And to your point, like, because it is easy, I dunk on Seth a lot because he's just not someone I care about. But like that Brock match and then that rematch they had at SummerSlam, man.
Yeah.
Seth got over huge in that match. He was incredible. And it's like, at some point, as much as I like poking fun, you do just wonder if the poor guys, you know, they've lost it in the details so much of a guy like that he now feels to me like a gatekeeper. Like, I don't know about you guys, I'll speak for myself. I have no interest in any brand being built around Seth Rollins, heel or babyface, ever again. I'm done with it. I've moved on. That's a bummer, but it's where I'm at. What do you think? I don't know.
I don't like that you're talking down about the Messiah, that you do not embrace the vision.
Wait, he's not doing Rollins. That gimmick anymore, is he?
I don't know what gimmick he's doing. I don't.
Well, thank God they gave his music back, for starters.
Yeah, but his music doesn't. He's got his babyface music, and he's still doing.
Here's my. I've argued with people about this. Okay, that is not his babyface music.
It is his babyface
music.
No.
That is the music that was given to him when he turned on the Shield. So that technically,
but they added
his heel music.
But they added the burn it down thing when he was a babyface. No, Joseph, we're having this Seth Rollins.
I have a bigger question. I have a bigger question for Jack. Why do you have arguments about this and who with?
It was someone at work. Or was like, I think it was Brent. This music. So thank God, because that other music was horseshit, man.
Yeah. It was the Bailey music. Yeah, that was.
I just want to stress to the people that watch this, and they should know because Jack's been on many times. Jack, when he says it at work, he's working within this landscape. He's not like in just an office being like Seth's music, huh? That's it.
It's fun if people think that Jack's working like a nice office job where he enters data numbers and stuff, and he's got.
I'm just
walking up beside him, and Rick's asking, "What do you think of Seth Rollins' music?" I can't fucking believe they got the "Burn It Down" music back. That's what I like.
Okay. Look,
what else is on this card? I feel we're missing a lot here. What's on this?
Thing? I mean, you can give Cesaro or Big E a win. Who needs the win?
Oh, Cesaro. Because Big E losing the IC title is shades of the old Moria losing the IC title at WrestleMania 5. Jeremy, you know,
it's so. My relationship here at WrestleMania with Big E is weird because I don't give a shit about his match with Apollo Crews. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about Big E as Intercontinental Champion. I will give a shit when Big E is put in his rightful spot of being a world champion.
Yeah, man.
I loved when they brought out the when he won that Intercontinental title. They played it off as finally. I'm like, bitch, I watched Big E win an Intercontinental Championship like 7 years ago. Shut up. This is not any huge milestone. Be quiet.
I agree.
Get him where he needs to be.
He's a top guy, man. Listen, I know it's all circumstance. I just can't imagine having Big E and Drew in front of me and be like, yeah, Drew's the guy. Big E, you go do some IC shit over there. I don't know how to deal. Like, Big E is to me, I mean, we spoke about this before, but he's so obviously the guy to beat Roman. You know, like, he just feels like the most obvious fit.
Not sure about that. I still, in my heart of hearts, and I don't know what's going on personally, and I'm not going to speculate or make a joke because something's obviously going on. To me, I was leaning Big E being the guy to beat Roman. I really want Keith Lee to be the guy to do that. Because I think that story is phenomenal from that Survivor Series spot 2 years ago where Roman kind of gave him the fist pump and having Keith be able to say, like, you know yourself, I have the proof that you know I can do this. You know I can kick your ass.
Oh, shit. He's got a narrative on this. This is good shit, man.
Trust WWE to do that, but just that fist bump is like he could tell Roman, dude, you told telling me I can do this, and you know it in your heart that I can beat you.
It's good stuff, man. The most important part is like we just hope Keith's like back soon, right?
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with the guy. It seems personal.
Yeah, he's supposed to be on the watch along. I think the watch along or the bump. He's on some social media gimmick this week for them. Bud Ryan says for Joe on Sunday, Alexa will come out floating to the ring in an elaborate way. Cut the 7 shoot promo on the powers that be. Go back to Alexa.
That's the deal.
I swear, if she does that at any point, it could be the Raw after Mania. Anything, I will cancel. I will cancel AEW Plus, Impact Plus, Honor Club, IWTV, whatever I have.
Alexa just starts wiping the makeup off in front of the camera going, this shit.
She's like, I had to watch Lacey Evans, the top heel of this shit, man. Lacey Evans, my God. Oh, it'd be great. It'd be tremendous. It's not going to happen, though. This is it now, guys. This is forever. I hope you realize that. But nonetheless.
What about the Bad Bunny, man? I want to talk about the
Bad Bunny, man.
Because here's the thing. I will personally fight anyone who talks shit. I watched that promo from Raw on Monday.
Yeah.
Number one, it's sad how you can bring in a guy who's getting shit on by people because the music guy. He grabs the microphone and cuts a better promo than 90% of the people sitting back there going, why can't I get a chance? It's like, the biggest pop star on the planet just took the microphone and cut a better promo than you ever have.
Oh, man.
Do you see what this guy did?
It's tough. It's real tough. I know. It's brutal.
The way he articulated the you're gonna respect me and I'm going to whoop your ass. I was like that. I swear to God, I'm not joking. This is not a bit. Like that sucked me in when I was watching him say that. I was like,
because it was a promo. Yeah, it was actually a promo.
All right. And then when he spoke in the Spanish, like that just made it seem like it was one of those you don't know what he's saying, but it's like he seems
he's serious now.
He seems pissed off. This guy seems really pissed.
I do think it's worth complimenting. Like, I think using him to shine a light on Damian Priest is genuinely clever shit. Like, I think that's been really good. And what I've seen of it, I've really liked. So that's good stuff.
It scares me because, unfortunately, whether it be after WrestleMania, although it's like the guy legitimately loves this Bad Bunny, but you know, eventually he's going to be gone. So then we just have to hope and pray that they don't just take Priest, because Priest is a top. Like, he's a guy that has the makings of someone you could put at the top. Mm-hmm. That's a guy you can build to be a world champion. He's got the look. He's got the persona. He has the attitude. You can do something with him. Just, I hope they have the wherewithal that when Bad Bunny's gone, they know what to do with Priest.
That's the biggest thing, because otherwise, it's just been a relative waste of time. I mean, it's fun, but Priest is the thing you can gain from this beyond just like social media clicks and stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I know that Jeremy's ready to bring someone in, so we'll, you know.
Joseph, you keep – last week I delivered, did I not?
You did deliver, yeah.
I did deliver a lot.
Bent the rules slightly, but, you know, you got me Jack Crosby, which is what I really wanted, so that's fine.
Exactly. I got you Jack Crosby, and I gave you a lot of Robert O'Neill. Maybe it wasn't the corner three you were expecting, but I like how Jack just shows off his Britt Baker shirt. Maybe it wasn't the corner three you were expecting, but, like, I gave you Robert O'Neill, right?
You did. You did.
All right. He's back. He's back again. Back again this week. Robert O'Neill is here.
What's up, guys?
It is WrestleMania best on, it appears.
Here he is. Big Shot Bob. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Jack, O'Neill? I like your shirt.
I know. Isn't it cool? Thanks, Bob.
Such a genuine thank you. Oh my god.
I felt that.
Yeah, it was good.
O'Neill, what are you talking about? Are you previewing WrestleMania?
Yeah, man. I gotta cover the stuff you guys haven't covered yet.
It's a long 3 minutes. You go ahead of you.
The women's tag team division.
Yeah, Lana getting her crowning moment finally.
Don't spoil your preview here.
We somehow booked Hulk Hogan beating Roman Reigns in the main event after Bryan does the Bret Hart go get him, and because Hogan's going to take the title from Roman because he was not happy with what Roman said on the Yokozuna documentary about how here he comes. Holy shit! I just did that in my head.
I mean,
that was tremendous.
They probably shouldn't do that, but you know,
probably shouldn't. Yeah, I agree. Probably shouldn't. All right, everybody. Robert O'Neill's here. He's got his corner three. Here we go. Let's play it. History title. Bang! All right, O'Neill, your time starts now.
All right, man. Yeah, so WrestleMania, you know, the women's tag match with the tag team.
That has been Robert O'Neill's. History title. Bang!
History title. Bang! Look, man, there was a time in my life before Jack Crosby was sitting across from me in a Britt Baker shirt, right? I got mad. I started slamming my fist. Dude, I just think that's perfect use of Bob. You know, he comes on, he shows off his wrestling shirt. And here's the thing too. Like, I was speaking to Sean. The deal that he's like in place now after all that I've done for him, he doesn't ever need to talk on his finger. He gets paid regardless, Jack. We've got him a guaranteed deal, WCW late 90s style. So
I don't even get that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't cry for Bob O'Neill is my point. That needs to be a t-shirt. Don't cry for Bob O'Neill.
Dry. Distraction's going to go out of business with all we're paying O'Neill. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. Don't worry, guys. Like, look, as long as he can feed his family, got mouths to feed as a wrestling analyst, I understand that. But we've got him covered. Now, he's still at WrestleMania again. Is there a match we actually haven't hit other than the women's tags? Because we have nothing to say about that, let's be honest.
Kevin and Sammy.
Oh, that feels like that's right up your street. You fired up?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm happy for them. I know. I said, but, and I'm going to sound selfish here. My dream for Kevin and Sammy at WrestleMania one-on-one was always Kevin Owens world champion, Sammy beating him.
Doesn't need the belt, Jack. That's what Joseph told me. Doesn't need the belt.
Well, with where those two are in their respective WWE main roster careers, yeah, it would.
It would need
that,
the belt.
That one would. And Kevin heel champion, Sammy baby face, and then just like the whole lead up to that story, especially for people who have followed them their entire careers, you know, pre-WWE, everything, it'd be like, wow. And these two finally got there. Now, as someone who also covers by, like, I get this Paul guy out of here.
Well, that guy, I agree.
I thought you were talking about Paul Heyman. I was like, what the hell?
No, get this Logan Paul guy out of here, man.
Yeah, they need Chris Paul. Bring in Chris Paul for this. That's who should be there.
Bring it. I don't care. Replace Logan Paul with Chris Paul and the freaking State Farm and the State Farm guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm excited. I'm happy that I was happy when those two got the moment in Dallas in the ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happier for them now that they're getting. It's just I always thought I am disappointed because I always thought in my head that there would be a better build. There'd be better storytelling. And again, the world title involved, whether Universal or WWE. Like, and Sammy as a babyface, Kevin as a heel. Like that, to me, that paints the perfect picture of how you should give them their first one-on-one match. But still, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm happy for them. And it's probably going to be a great match because that's all those two know how to do with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think so. it's really clear when you go for these matches, and there's an elephant in the room we haven't got to, which, you know, we should probably do. But I'll leave that for a moment. This is a good show, man. A good set of shows. Like these matches, I will be stunned if the in-ring on this weekend's WrestleMania is bad. In fact, I'll be stunned if it's anything short of great, because you have a crowd, you have some of the best talent ever. This is going to be a really good show. Yeah. The question is, can the booking get out of its own way? That's the biggest issue. But the other thing is, will we leave Sunday night saying, man, I'm fired up for Monday? Because I will say, as someone that watches the pay-per-views, a real problem for them has become, the pay-per-views are good because the talent gets to wrestle, but there's very seldom a hook of like, what's next? It's like, oh, it was a good 3 hours of wrestling. Cool. It feels like I need to change that here to me. But looking at the matches we've gone through, like, none of these sound bad, right? No. I mean, they all sound like good wrestling matches, if nothing else. I don't know. It's hard to be negative for me.
I will give WWE credit on this. When I did look up the card, like this, both cards look great. This looks like, on paper, a great WrestleMania show. And it should be, you know, given the circumstances. If this doesn't deliver, I'd be shocked.
I agree. But there is an elephant in the room, which I'll now tackle. This Shane McMahon shit has got, like, it's got to end.
No, I was just going to ignore it.
No, because it's serious. It's a real problem, Jeremy, and I've had enough of it, okay? They actually think this guy is like a big star. It's really embarrassing.
Wait, are you saying, are you trying to say Shane McMahon's not a big star?
Yes, Jack, I'm trying to say that.
I don't want to be here anymore.
I have an update on my Cameo research. I'd love if Jack didn't return based on Shane McMahon. I have not checked this since yesterday, but I believe at last report, Shane O'Mac had sold 3 of his 15 cameos, which in my mind captures everything you need to know. Not a cameo draw is bad at wrestling. No, look, seriously, this is a catastrophe.
My first when I saw this match was they couldn't find anything better for Shane.
Oh, come on now. Because Braun, he has like a choo-choo noise now. Have you seen it?
Look, man. But look, man, like the Undertaker streak is gone, so all we're left with every WrestleMania in a non-world title capacity to look forward to is what is Shane McMahon gonna do? Because look, he put on a great probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, no, second probably to Bret Owen. Greatest opening match in WrestleMania history with AJ, but then again, that's AJ. So.
No, we have to stop. Flag on the play. Babyface Shane McMahon, somewhat fun as dipshit that does dumb stuff, okay? Heel Shane McMahon that just cuts babyface dicks off, awful wrestler, the worst thing that ever happened. This man murdered The Miz. People talk about The Miz being a bad babyface. Well, I promise you, he was doing fine. They told this fun story of him trying to make his dad proud. It was fine. Shane eviscerated this man. He beat him like 3 times in a row, just killed him. Also, he could put over Kevin Owens, who did not need to be put over by Shane McMahon. It's over. Jack, I appreciate you bringing some comedy to this program. None of us need it. Please get rid. Can we all move on from the sweat?
No, I will always be in on Shane.
I was trying to avoid this, Joseph. This is what I was trying to avoid.
Okay.
You brought it up.
Controversy creates cash.
You brought it up.
I do have a big topic to discuss, though, to close this out. We normally go like hour and 10 these days, but Jack's a big guest. We can get an hour and a half.
Right, Jeremy? Fine. We're good.
We're not going to get thrown off the air, Jeremy, right?
I'm going to work on ratings here in like 5 minutes.
But you can do that because Jack and I normally just make stuff up and lie. You can just come in and say that was wrong.
Jeremy, what were the numbers?
The numbers aren't out yet, but when they are, we will talk about it.
Go ahead, do that.
Replace Logan Paul with Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that would be good. That transitions to my point, actually.
Okay.
AEW, 1 week ago, excellent show, disappointing number.
Mm-hmm.
Last night's show seems to have really concerned people. There seems to be alarm bells are ringing, emergency buttons being pushed. Jack, where are you at on this?
I know what they're doing here. It took me till this morning. I figured out what they're doing.
Okay.
They're putting the whole Elite thing back to slowly put together until they get to Hangman Page.
Yes.
And they tell Paige, come on, we're all. And he goes, no, not doing it. And then we get, because, again, we talk about it all the time. Wrestling, it's okay when wrestling storylines are obvious sometimes, and to me, it's obvious that Hangman Page is the one that's going to beat Kenny Omega.
Agree.
It's obvious, but it's cool, and we're looking forward to it. We're like, we're along for the ride. So they're putting the Bucks and Kenny and Cody might even join the bet. Like, they're going to put all of them back together, and then they're going to get to Hangman and go, hey, come on, man. He's going to go, no, not doing it.
I agree.
But that was – look, I love AEW. I could do with less of the Young Bucks.
We need to talk about this. So, firstly,
Wait. You ready? You ready for these numbers?
NXT Everybody? Must have won last night, I feel.
They had
What do you think the NXT did?
AEW did 670.
I would agree, and I'd say NXT is in the probably 750, I'd guess. That'd be my big guess.
Hot NXT, point. I'm going to say 850.
Whoa.
AEW, 688. NXT, 768.
Jesus Christ.
You could tell the buzz was different.
Look, I'm not shitting on WWE. That's a bad number for TakeOver.
NXT has won the war. They won the marathon.
That's a bad number.
They split numbers between the cock. I watched on the cock, so I took away from
it. Yeah, it's true. And also,
Yeah.
The big match. Your favorite wrestler, Karrion Kross, is on tonight, and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly is tonight. So
that's the big match too. Right. But I think Cole and O'Reilly is the big selling point here.
I don't even
nonetheless.
That bullshit.
You mentioned the Young Bucks. I have a little bit of not a rant. I'm a calm guy, but I have noticed this. Everyone knows that I am part of the Bullet Club officially. So is Jack. We've toured Japan many a time. I have to say I am disgusted, ashamed to see the Young Bucks loyalists for inexplicably blaming our friends, the Good Brothers, for this angle being bad. Listen, guys, this is so obviously the Young Bucks booking this thing. The Good Brothers they're just in the thing. There's nothing to do with them. This is not good. Matt is the one staring at his hands. He's the one with the tanner coming out of the eye. Okay? It's not anyone's fault but theirs. They love this shit. I don't. That's just me.
I don't. It's crazy to think about. I mean, Kenny's doing a great job right now. I love what Kenny's doing. Mm-hmm. I love this heel iteration of Kenny, but like the Bucks and even Cody. So it's great. Like these guys created this company. These superstar wrestlers created this with the help of Tony Khan. They put this all together. Yet most of the time, and they need to realize this isn't a bad thing necessarily. I want to see everyone else but them.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Like, I don't want to see them. Like, thank you for doing this, but I don't want to see you. I want to see Hangman. I want to see Wardlow. I want to see MJF. Like, I don't want to see you guys. Like, thank you for doing this, but step aside a little bit.
Let's go one by one, okay? I think Cody has, like, a real issue right now. Like, I think Cody needs to start working with guys that lead him rather than the other way around because he's got some bad instincts, you know? Like, he has a good wrestling mind. You can tell when he's on, but, like, he just needs guys to, like, force him to work to his strengths.
Honest to God, probably the last guy he worked with that led the charge in the match was probably Brody.
Yeah. That was his last good shit.
Not the squash. The dog collar match.
Dog collar, yeah.
If you watch that back, Brody was leading the charge on that.
No, I agree. That's a bummer. But I think you're right. Cody's got a lot of issues. That, you know, I think he's increasingly feels like an irritant on his own show, which is annoying.
It's so tough, though, because you know what? Yes, he is. But at the same time, like, if TNT was coming to me, if Warner Media was coming to me and saying, we want to give you and your wife your own show on TNT. Hey, we got this game show. Can you be a host? I probably wouldn't stop what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, it is what it is. I definitely think, too, there's a chance that we're the minority when we say we don't want the elite guys. I think there's a chance that their core audience is like more, you know, give me another six man. Yeah. I mean, the Bucks, you'll never hear me be overly critical of the Bucks in ring because I think they're a great team. I really do think people nitpick a lot of their work. You know, I think they're a great team. Nothing but respect for that part of it. They're not good TV characters, man. They're just not. And they way overcomplicate their own stories in a medium that just there is no need. They did it with FTR. It was the same shit, right?
Makes you wonder what would have happened if the Bucks signed with WWE.
Bad stuff would have happened, Jay. I think we both know that.
Really makes sure. I think Kenny would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think Kenny Shonas, he would have been fine to adapt to whatever they wanted. Yeah. I don't think the Bucks would have made it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just, it's amazing to me to see people doing this deal where it's like, they think if the Good Brothers go back to Impact and Don Callis is gone, this stuff is good. And it's like, no, the problem is they're the ones telling the story, the Bucks. And they have this opinion or this belief that they've got these really layered, detailed characters. None of us need it, man. Just be arrogant dicks and super kick people. Like, that's what you're best at, you know?
Yeah, I didn't need that whole, like, Matt Jackson doing the, like, the looking at the hands thing. Why is this happening to me?
What
yeah.
It was so damn.
I don't need that shit.
That's it. That's why they would have been great in NXT.
Well, how they should have just done last night was at some point, like, have the match and have somehow a point where Moxley's on the apron and the two Bucks are in the ring and they just turn around and kick him in the face.
Yeah.
And then you know, what the hell just happened here? And the Bucks just feel, ha ha, fool just.
Yeah, I agree. I must admit, I do feel sometimes with AEW, it's like they don't get enough criticism. And then there's other times where, and we all do this, we like react to individual episodes, right? And like swing violently. Whereas with Raw and SmackDown, because they're the status quo, it's like, yeah, it was fine. When AEW's fine, it's like, well, is it all over? So I get that we're probably being silly, but I must admit, there are times where I watch the show and I'm like, this thing is a mess. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's bad. There are times where they're doing 101 things and it clicks for me. Then there are times like last night where it's like, you could just like split this amount of stories and tell them better. You know? Like Team Taz are doing like 30-second vignettes every week.
They had
like
74 people on the show last night.
That's a lot, man. So that's an awful lot, especially when you're going to give every match time. That's the other problem.
Guys, we knew this was going to happen. We've talked on this show before. We knew this was going to happen to them. And another reason why we explained to people, look, they cannot sign every WWE cast off. Yes. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I think there's a lot of delusion as to how big their roster is. I think people don't get it yet. They've got like 80 people, guys. It's insane. More
it's
than
loaded.
That. It's kind of dizzying, to be honest. It is a little bit problematic.
And then they put themselves in tough spots where when a guy like Andrade becomes available, like he's one of the guys on the list of we got to give him whatever he wants. We have to get this guy. So then you bring him in and then you have to figure out, okay, well, what do we do with this guy?
Let's try, we've got like 10 minutes here. As best we can, let's try to streamline what we think AEW should strive to be as we move into the summer. And it's like, you know, are we looking at, by the time All Out comes, if we assume that's where Hangman's winning the belt, right? Because that would make sense. That would be
two years,
I guess, from, yeah, exactly. Okay, where else would we like this product to be? Would we like to see less factions where the Pinnacle stand out more? Would we like to see a Ricky Starks coming through as a singles? Where do we see Mox and Eddie at? Are they a full-time team at that point? Like, what are we, I don't know. Jack, what are you feeling? Anything stands out?
See, I'm okay with the factions for now because I agree with the group of people that says it gets people on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then eventually you have to break them apart. And so far it seems like it's like they're kind of recycling the factions in a good way because I like that, you know, at least you turn the Inner Circle babyface, but then you created a new heel faction in the process. So you kind of balance that. Yeah. You balance that out a little bit. And I do. I like because we said one of our main things about WWE is look at these 80 people sitting in catering. So exactly. At least AEW with these factions is making a point to be like, look, we're going to try our best to get these people on TV every week. And they keep talking about this second TNT show because even Cody said, like, there's one more coming. I don't know what it is, but so there's one more. Maybe that's something. But no, like you said, you have to focus on your priorities. The priority for the summer should be making sure Hangman Page just continues to become a big star.
Yeah.
If that's your guy, then make sure he's a big star. A little more focus, a little better focus on the women, especially like Ty Conti's awesome. God, she rules.
Dude, that match was like so much better than I expected last night. I honestly couldn't believe that. It was like, not just like, no, it was fine. It was an actually good, a tremendous TV match. I was like, amazed by how good it was.
And when you watch a TV show, you also want your storylines. Like,
yes.
AEW, like when they put the women, like they just had that tournament, which I'm okay with. Like, it's like, yeah. All right, here's a tournament. The winner of the tournament earns a title shot. All right, get it. But then, same time, I'd like to see Sheeta in some kind of story. And no, not just Abaddon creeping around her for a couple weeks, right. And then Sheeta just beats her. Like, I want to see something like personal.
Yeah, like a narrative, a conflict, something you can sink your teeth into.
It's crazy because I love Hikaru Shida. I think she's a great champion for that company. I really do. But she's always a happy-go-lucky. I want to see someone just piss her off. Because she even has that violent style. I want to see someone just get her angry. Like, really get personal with her.
So, one of the things that's really interesting at that point is, I have found that they're most comfortable telling stories, and this is not an insult, I think it's logical, but they're most comfortable telling stories that are, like, rooted in some history before AEW existed, right? So, like, even if you go away from the Elite, the whole Eddie and Mox thing is like, yeah, man, these guys have known each other for 15 years. I think they've really struggled to tell stories with women where it's effectively a clean slate across the board. Like, the most they did, I remember when Serena wrestled Ty Conti, it was like, PC, right? They trained each other. She trained her once, and it was like, oh, I don't know. It is a problem. I agree. Like, if you said to someone, what's the great story? And the woman's
because they're
you'd be struggling. It's tough.
Because there's a large imbalance there. Because on the same show, you're telling us this friggin' Bullet Club story that has how many layers we can't even count.
Yes.
And then you have your point about the women there.
Yeah, it's like a clean slate. She's like, here are these women that are good. They are, and most of them are objectively good. There you go.
Also, real quick, AEW, I've usually, for the most part, I mean, they've gotten better. I have a problem with their theme music, but they've gotten better. That bootleg Bullet Club song that they play.
That's real tough.
When Kenny and the Good Brothers come out together, that needs to stop.
Yeah.
That needs to stop immediately. That sucks.
You know, your idea, and I actually agree with you, the idea that, like, by making the Elite a thing again, it kind of reaffirms Hangman as the hero of the story, right? Like, he wasn't the problem. These guys are just dicks. I like that. I then do wonder, like, what story, like, is Mox and Eddie beating the Bucks? Or what do you do with the Good Brothers? They're the second team in their own factory. Like, I have no clue what this looks like.
I saw somebody say, I forget who, I saw a tweet on Twitter that said, Tony Khan, the only reason Tony Khan partnered with Impact was to get the Good Brothers on his show.
Yes.
And I'm starting to think
it's true.
That might have been the play here.
We've been saying this, like, that Rich Swann match is coming up. They're running out of time to get Rich Swann on that television show. And if Impact doesn't get Swann on that show, it feels like this whole thing was a miss.
They got played.
Yeah, maybe they get more down the line, but, like, it feels like this whole thing is a miss, like, for Impact.
You don't even try to have Deonna come and confront Shida.
See, this is the thing.
Shit like that. Like, this isn't enough.
I've said this before and people think I'm joking, but I honestly mean it. I think there is a serious disconnect between, like, the people we talk to online about wrestling, the people that are watching this show, and, like, those in the industry, how they perceive the Good Brothers. Like, I genuinely think Tony Khan's like, sweet, man, we've got the Good Brothers in TV main events. Now, for Impact, I don't know what they've gained, because really, if you like the Good Brothers, you can just watch them on AEW every single week, so you have no reason to watch their show.
They are on Dynamite every week.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Every single week. So, like, tonight, they're doing a six-man with Kenny, and it's like, I just watched him do a six-man.
And then the thing with Kenny on Impact is they could tape those all in advance. Like, Impact, like the Good Brothers, most of the time, they're showing up to Dynamite, they're live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny could be for AEW.
Kenny could be around Impact. And they could be like, all right, let's shoot this for this week, this is for next week, confront Swann here, and then Kenny just goes home.
See, this is the big, I've said this before, but I really mean it. Like, the big key is this Swann and Omega match, what pay-per-view number it does. If it beats their post-spike record, okay, fair enough. You got that out of it. If not, seems like you're just sharing Gallows and Anderson to me.
Are they going to put that Impact title on Kenny?
I mean, it's title versus title, right? So they have to. Yeah. Rich ain't winning the AEW title.
This is why I don't understand why Swann isn't on AEW television, because theoretically, Swann could be AEW champion.
But it is important to note, though, we have got to remember here, this is Don Callis. He's like, pitch. He's very proud of this himself. So, like, what he's seen, is he just such a fan and friend of Kenny that he's like, hell yeah, Kenny's a better world champ for us than our own talent? Maybe, man. Fuck, I don't know.
If you're Tony Khan looking at this and you're agreeing to this, like, wouldn't you want to – because Tony Khan, by all accounts, likes to, you know, do these details and Easter eggs and everything and likes to not treat fans as idiots. Like, wouldn't you want Swan there and be like, hey, this guy could be our world champion? No, fine.
No, I think he sees it as – sweet, we got them Good Brother six man tags. Like, that's, I don't think he cares at all about Rich Swann.
I don't think he does either, but like, I think that's disingenuous to the fans.
Right, but here's the problem. I think Rich Swann is a tremendous professional wrestler. We are talking about like a tiny audience that cares about Rich Swann as a top guy, are we not? I mean, like we have to be honest.
I think Rich Swann is a fantastic wrestler. I think I've said it on the show. I do not think he's a world champion. Like, this stuff with Kenny is just not believable to me at all. Kenny's world champion. Swan's not.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm with you that in an ideal world, you represent him as an equal. But like, if
you don't even have to represent him, you don't even have to represent him as equal. That's fine if you think like Kenny's going to win and stuff. Like, if you know, we're going to praise AEW for all their consistency and all their little stories and all their little threads and stuff. Like, you've got to knock them for being like, hey, this guy could be our world champion. We're not even pretending. We're not even getting him on our show. We're not even worried that this guy is going to come over here and just be our champion. Like, at least give me the idea.
Yeah, but the story's broke though, because it's not a cross promotional thing, because the Impact guys don't like Dom, because it's more that Don's trying to like invade Impact from within. So the whole thing's messed up.
Give me Swan coming to AEW and being like, you're going to come in at our territory. We're going to come here and invade your territory. Like, that type of
thing. Like,
go ahead.
When Kenta showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Before his match with Moxley. He was there 2 weeks. The attack, and then he did the tag team match.
Yeah.
Look, I completely – what I'm saying is – they have clearly done the story as such that, aside from Tony's dumb ads, they can tell it this way, because Rich's main issue is with Don Callis. Don Callis is his boss. So, like, when we first happened, Jeremy and I sat here and were like, cross promotional war, you know? That ain't the story they're telling at all. So, I don't know what the end game is. I assume it's just Kenny's going to win the Impact title and drop it to their new babyface, Chris Bay, Moose, whoever the hell. I don't see what else they're doing at this point.
Yeah, but it's so weird, because then you have Kenny drop the Impact title, but then he's still the AEW title, because then you just subconsciously had people think, well, look, that Impact guy is better than anyone AEW has.
Yeah,
it's
tough. It's definitely tough. I guess the key is, and we don't know the numbers, all we know is post Spike TV, their biggest pay-per-view buyer, was that show where they advertised someone is signing here. You know, Slammiversary, it was like, maybe Heath Slater shows up. And people were like, I want to buy it. Here we go. That was number one. And number two was the six-man hard to kill with Kenny on it.
Yeah.
To me, if Kenny's winning this belt, that needs to break the pay-per-view that was built around whether or not Heath Slater's signing. I'm sorry. God bless Heath Slater and all those guys. They already announced Gallows and Anderson's. That wasn't even a tease. If it doesn't do that, I don't want to say they've got played, because I don't feel like either side's really benefited.
No.
Does that make sense?
No one's benefited from
it. It's just like, it's just kind of a nothing. It's like a nice gesture, but it isn't, you know, anything groundbreaking. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I just always wanted the AEW New Japan partnership, and that was it. Like, when Impact got brought into this, I was like, all right. Yeah, but then again, where we stand currently, I do not want Willie Ospreay on my Wednesday night TV. No. If I see Will Ospreay show up on my Dynamite, I'm going to lose my mind.
So this is a problem, and this is the big – I said elephant in the room 100 times in the show, but here's another one that's just walked in. New Japan kind of sucks now.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, kind of a bummer.
We all shit on Harold Mage. We shit all over the guy. Since he's left, I'm about ready to go beg him myself to come back, because this is nonsense. But then at the same time, he was the one holding back the partnership with AEW.
Right. It's just
– It's
a bummer that New Japan's not like red hot. Like, oh man,
we're venturing off here. But like Kazuchika Okada, when I saw he confront Will Ospreay, I said to myself, if we're at the point where Kazuchika Okada is challenging Will Ospreay for the IWGP Championship, I think it's time we get little Kazu the hell out of there.
Oh my. Out of the territory.
I think it's time we get him out. Like, I was all for, hey, if the guy wants to stay there, you know, he's still young, he's 31. We got to get him out of there. He can't be doing this.
It's funny you say it, Jack. I was just talking to your friend and mine, the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and I believe Impact is putting together a deal as we speak. He can finally have that dream match with TJP. Imagine how Carl leaves it. You go, he puts on Instagram or some shit, I'm moving to America, and the next day it's an Impact logo.
Here he is. Just to show that I'm not a person who only shits on WWE, I've always been of the belief that Okada is so talented, he'll work in WWE. I think he's so talented, he will work there. He might have he'll have a couple roadblocks, but I think he'd be fine there. It wouldn't be a complete bust.
Dude, the Shinsuke thing is terrifying. Because Shin had so much outward charisma and flash, and that thing was a catastrophe in the end. I don't know. I don't think we're going to find out, to be honest. I must say. But there you go.
Music of Moonsault says, my fear is Hangman beating Kenneth is so obvious that it could possibly not happen. I mean,
I think that's where AEW differs from everybody else. Yeah. It's okay. Again, it's okay if it's obvious.
It makes sense that people with similar goals, backgrounds, common hurdles, enemies would come together, especially when the heels group first. I think we don't have problems with the faction stuff.
No, I was just asking. I was asking the Crosby because he wasn't here for that. But I think we all like faction. It's just it is a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, it should be. It should have been Swan and the Bucks against Kenny and the Good Brothers last night.
Not if you're looking to go, like Joe said, Eddie and John against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Even beyond that, like, you've got John Moxley. You're like, John, say that. We've got Rich Swan.
Kenny collects all the titles. How did he drop them? Loses a smile, I would assume. That's how I would do it.
That is a good question, though. Like, if Kenny wins all the titles, and it's still, like, it's still open that he could win the IWGP title back.
Yeah.
Like, that door is up. But theoretically, he could.
Yeah.
So he could be the AEW champion, IWGP champion. And he still holds people forget this. He's still the AAA mega champion.
Yeah.
So he's still the AAA world champion.
Well, they'll just say that they taped the show and
I saw what they did to Leo Rush.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for the dude.
Yeah, that
was... I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Joseph, I was the centerpiece of this story, Joseph.
Joe, Leo Rush on an episode of MLW beat Laredo Kid for the AAA Cruiserweight Championship. Okay. So at that point, Leo was a double champion. He was the MLW middleweight champion, and now he was the AAA Cruiserweight champion. And I remember being like, whoa, this shit's wild. Now MLW – well, AAA, the finish of the match got screwed up. Leo was not supposed to win the title. But they went with the finish anyway, went with this whole thing, put it on Twitter. Leo Rush, the AAA Cruiserweight champion. The next time AAA did a show – they just had Laredo Kid walk out with the title, and they ignored it ever happened. They just didn't even mention it.
Conan tried to say that, oh, yeah, we taped the match, and it hasn't happened yet, and Leo called him out as a liar.
Leo went ballistic on Twitter. Somebody's like, when did you find out about this? Leo's like, just now on Twitter.
Yeah, I talked with Leo about that.
Bravo. Here we go. Has Leo wrestled low key yet this week? Is that match still coming up?
No, that's Friday. That's tomorrow.
Jack, there's one for you, pal.
I will absolutely not be tuning in. No, this is
Mike Tyson's on that show. Big ratings draw. Mike Tyson is on that show.
You know what's kind of breaking my heart? This is the first week in I want to say 5 or 6 years that I haven't spent like $120 buying one of those WrestleMania week packages. None of those shows just appealed to me.
I mean, a lot of guys.
None of them did.
The landscape has changed, hasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's just, and I did. I would drop. Usually, I'd be the person. I'd tell myself, like in March, I ain't spending that kind of money. April, first week of April rolls around, I'm like, oh, but that looks really good. Oh, I'll probably be up at midnight. Okay, see, I'll need something to watch, and then I'll end up spending the money. I'll be like, all right, I gotta watch all these shows. I didn't buy any because I looked at them and I was like, nothing. None of this is really.
I mean, we said it earlier. I mean, AEW signed like 100 people. Like, this is what happens. You know, it's not an endless pit. I guess it is what it is. I don't know.
All right.
Is that the end? Are we done here?
Yes, let's wrap things up.
Are you sure you don't want to talk about Homicide being better in Ring of Honor before we go? Because I know Jake's big one. There you go.
Stop it.
Oh, damn! Just when we're having fun, Jack.
We're going to be on Twitch. Jack is welcome to join us on Twitch. Jack tells me he's got a shoot job and can't join us on Twitch, and then just goes over time here.
Part of my shoot job is I'm actually forced to watch the NXT tonight. So,
your boy, the Karrion Kross, is going to win the title.
Which is why I'm not that mad about it. I ain't that mad about it.
Jack, I expect from you at like 2-3 a.m. my time to send me a DM and be like, "I'm sorry, this shit is actually very bad."
I'm gonna tell you this shit sucks.
I'm certain that's gonna be your take. But there you go, that's cool.
We're gonna be on Twitch. We're gonna simulate night 2 of WrestleMania on Fire Pro. I believe Cass is gonna join us. He does not have a shoot job today. Jack, let everyone know where they can find you.
You could find me on Twitter at JCrosbyCBS. And I'm usually just talking to these goofballs or about baseball.
You're tweeting about Yankees baseball. Yeah,
that's pretty much. Yeah, and any other games I'm watching during the day.
Yeah, there you go. I like the afternoon games. Like, can we just have that forever?
I love afternoon baseball games, man. There was a Nationals game on yesterday at noon Eastern time. It was the greatest thing ever.
The Reds played at like 12:30 yesterday, and it was fantastic.
I'm glad we didn't talk about homicide. I'd hate to hold everyone up. You guys have fun over there, you know. Here's what it is.
Joseph, do you have anything to plug? The WrestleMania features?
No, I don't write anymore. I'm retired, Terry Funk. But I do have one last statement. I said it earlier, and I felt like my point was kind of overruled by that image of the Fiend Bray Wyatt. Guys, pray for me. Pray for my fandom. That this weekend, the Fiendess Alexa Bliss will no longer be a Fiendess and instead will swat kick Bray Wyatt in the bollocks. Thank you very much. Good night.
All right, everybody. We'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming here shortly. NXT TakeOver post show here on Fightful.com/wrestling. What was this? YouTube.com/FightfulWrestling. I don't know the name of any of this stuff. We're on Fightful.com/wrestling. Or FightfulWrestling.com. NXT TakeOver post show, myself, Alex Pulowski, Denise Salcedo on the show tonight. We'll be reviewing the NXT. That's it. We'll be back next week. Next week, Robert O'Neill back for the Corner 3. We'll talk about the fallout from WrestleMania, a bunch of other stuff. We'll talk to y'all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.